Hallelujah. Nice and quiet. Nice when the children have gone to bed, isn't it? For those of you who've got children. What a privilege and joy it is to be with you here again today. It's really more than that. It's a miracle. You know, I often now quote that text that Elizabeth gave to us when we was here, staying with them before Jim's funeral. The mind plans the way, but the Lord guides his feet. And sometimes you get, there's a difference there sometimes. And it was incredible. To be here is a miracle. Even the journey coming here, we were delayed. We were on the plane for an hour and a half, delayed on the runway last night. We got home about 9 o'clock, I think it was, nine-ish. We were delayed for about 2 hours because of the fog at Gatwick. But it was an incredible time. It was a moment for us when we were on a plane, we had a God moment. It's incredible. Sometimes you think you're going to take your seat and, you know, you have your ticket and you go to the seat and you make sure, men always like a window seat, don't they? The women have to sit on the one on the inside. So, we got on the plane, they said, we came through the checkout and they said, oh, we changed your seats. So they changed their seats from the front of the plane to the back of the plane. We got back to the back of the plane. It's incredible. We didn't moan. There was a lot of moany people because sometimes old people moan, don't they? Hello? Any old people there? There was a lot of moanies. And I thought, well, what logic? It's fog. We live in a technical world. It's obvious the planes are going to be delayed. But I thought, I'll get out my notes and read my Bible. And what they did, they put us at the back of the plane because to balance up the plane itself. Because, you know, some people are more larger than others, are more proportioned. So they did it to even out the plane. But they put us right down the back and there was about 14 empty seats all the way around us. So I got my Bible out and I writing down some notes. It was incredible. And I was up in the corner, got notes on this Bible, and I saw the steward keep going up and down, and I was near the window. There's three seats, I'm near the window. And I thought, I wonder what he's doing. He's nosing at me. And he put his hand over the three seats. He said, excuse me, sir, are you reading the Bible? Are you studying the Bible? I said, yes, I am. He said to me, what are you studying? It was incredible. It was a divine moment. I said, well, I'm preparing for a sermon in a church tomorrow morning. He said, well, what are you studying? I said, I'm talking about Jesus, a proclamation of Jesus. The birth of Jesus. And he was going on and on and on. What do we have, a quarter of an hour? We have a quarter of an hour with this man, telling him all about the Lord and what it means to be a Christian, that we can experience God. Even now we can experience the presence of the Holy Spirit. It was incredible. And I said, look, Adrian, I said, do you mind if I have a little prayer with you? Put my hand out like that. I managed to get about three verses in. And he was gone. It was getting a bit warm. But it was an incredible witness. I was so happy. I thought, Lord, we're letting our light shine. I could see this man inside. I could see he was in need. He said he didn't like his job. You could see inside there was a hunger for something. And it was incredible. He came up a second time. Another stewardess came down as well. And she said, I got a new flat today, but the planes are all delayed and I've got the key and I can't get into my new flat. I want to see it. So as I was doing my notes and writing out, the Lord said to me, that's a good idea. Write a little prayer on a bit of paper and give it to that stewardess as well. So I wrote on the little paper, Lord bless your home, may you find happiness, contentment, hope, joy, and peace. I put on the bottom of it, simply passenger. When the man that came, that we were talking to, I said, I've got something for your colleague. Would you give this to your colleague? And there were only, we were at the, right at the back. The curtains went along, and I'm sure they were in there talking about the experience that they had both had. It was an incredible moment. I got off that plane. I tell you, I was sky high. I was sky high. I thought, we just witnessed. It was absolutely incredible. That's what the Lord wants us to do, is to let our light shine. And today I'm here to, I want to encourage you. I want to commend you. I want to lift up God's people today. This year, for you, has been a pretty heavy climb. That's why I believe the Lord is going to bring you down off of that mountain. It's been a hard climb. But I've been listening to the sermons that are coming out of this church. And my sermon today is God is with us. And I've been hearing and listening to the counsel and the advice that men have brought to this pulpit for God's people at such a time like this. It is incredible. It's done me a world of good as I've listened to the sermons over the computer. Listening, what is going on here? Why should I be interested in this place? Because this church is the part of the heritage of God in me. God was with me in this place, and the congregation, and the people. And it was an incredible journey. God was with us. And God is still with us. Martin read the word that I was going to read about the shepherds. No, Mark. Liz read the word that I was going to speak about in Isaiah 9. For unto us a child is born, unto us a child is given. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor and Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of his government there will be no end. Hallelujah. God is with us. We've had so many battles. You see what happens? The enemy wants to shake us. He wants to bring the darkness. He wants to bring defeat. He wants to bring division. But this is the time when we can see God is with us. You're joining shoulder to shoulder. Oh, I loved it when I saw Mark saying, we're going to go like this. All of us, one, two, walks by faith. You know, in bed last night, I was praying, and I thought, it all suddenly come to me. You know, have you ever seen the natural geographical programs of the animals and the birds? Have you seen, did you see the penguin one, and they survive? Well, I thought that might be a good idea for the church. It might be a good idea for the future. Because penguins huddle together, don't they? But they don't get too comfortable. If you get comfortable in the church, it's no good. You're dead. You won't inspire, you'll expire. I saw these birds and they are amazing. They do like little shuffles, don't they? If you can shuffle for God, shuffle! It's better than doing nothing, isn't it? And they shuffle. I don't know if they're moaning and saying, well, I've been in the cold. Now I'm going on the outside. And they go to the outside of the flock. They have to take all the pain, all the cold, all the battering. Now, I don't know how they work out the time. There must be some greedy ones there. It's incredible. So the unity and the survival is prolonged. Hallelujah. I wonder if they have a discipline. Like you get a little peck on the backside if you don't get off it. It's incredible how you see it. But you see, all of us are important in the kingdom of God. Because God is with us. And it may be today we are here, we're thinking about God is with us. We have to be radical. Did you hear what Mark said? I've got a word in my sermon, radical. Mark said we've got to be radical. Which means, radical means to do things that are not of the norm or generally accepted of the norm. That's incredible, isn't it? God's called them foolish things of the world to condemn the wise. It was radical. Jesus was radical when he into somebody's eye with a bit of mud. It was radical when Jesus touched the lepers with his hands because lepers are unclean. Jesus was radical with them all. It was incredible. That prostitute at that well, Jesus said, go and sin no more. He who has sinned cast the first stone. What a radical thing to him for him to do. The accusers wanted her to be killed and stoned. But Jesus was radical, he said. This story about the shepherds, oh, I've only got a quarter of an hour. I got a lot of opposition, you know. Hallelujah. This story, well, I get back, let's get to the Word of God. We won't go and read all through the Word. But it says there were shepherds abiding in the fields, looking after their sheep at night. Ordinary men. The usual thing that they did. We don't know how they must have felt that night. Might have an argument with one of their wives. They might have had pain and sickness. They might have been weak. But this was an incredible revelation that would come to them. Ordinary men at ordinary times with an extraordinary experience. And it was radical. Sadly, we associate radicalism with the devil. People who want to blow up and maim and kill innocent children. But we can be radical in the kingdom of God. Jesus is looking for radical times, radical experiences. Moyne and I have had some radical experiences. Incredible. Even in this place, we've had radical revelations. Incredible. You would have thought they will never ever work. This church has been built on faith, on sweat, with tears, but the foundation being the Lord Jesus Christ. God has been with us from the start. Hallelujah. It has been incredible. But we've had to be radical. Some of you might know. Dear Jack Clifford, when he was here, a lovely man of God, and both Maureen and I, we put our houses up for as a surety for this church. Is that radical? If the church wasn't built, we've lost our nice little house in Crawley. A little lovely family when it was sweet little Ian. There were radical times. There were times. And I can remember one man, he's a dear man, he had a wonderful heart on him. He turned up with a lorry, and you could have filled this place with the carpet. He was doing his best. He put it down. There was oil stains all over the place. Sorry, it seems harsh, but you have to be radical sometimes in the kingdom of God. I said, Brother Bill, it's a lovely gesture, my brother, but we can't use it. We would rather have the best for God than none at all. And the carpet previous to this, it lasted for many years. It was incredibly long wearing. But it was radicalism that built the church. It was incredible. There were men out there working bulldozers. I was working a bulldozer, one of these little one-man things. We had to lay all the car parks out. It was radical Christianity. We got our hands dirty. I can remember here being on my own once, and I complained. I used to work for engineering in the morning and come here in the afternoons and do work with Jack Clifford. Do all sorts of work to get this building up and running. I was out in the garden one day, and I was the only one turned up. Oh, the same old thing, eh? And you think you're the only one, and you complain, and you think, oh, Lord, it's only me. Why? Where are they? It happens. It happens in all building work. We're workers together for Christ. Hallelujah. The shepherds had a divine revelation of who Christ was. It was incredible. Jesus met them suddenly. I love it when the Lord meets us suddenly. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we got a pastor suddenly? Hallelujah! It says suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared. God is fanatical, not fanatical, radical. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Omnipotent One, the Omniscient One, the all-knowing God should choose shepherds in the field. They were the downcast of society. If he was coming today, I don't know what they would do. If somebody had to promote it, there would be a big screen, a digital screen. But he came to shepherds in the field. Isn't it wonderful? I tell you, it makes me feel good. You know, I got nothing against leaders who have degrees and in theology and stuff like that. God calls them all, an all mixture. But this part, it did me a world of good because I can see myself in this picture. Lord came where I was and radicalized me. I had to start doing things differently than what I did before. What a revelation when Christ comes into your heart and into your family. What benefits there are. Our marriages, our friends. It's a fantastic thing when Christ radicalizes your life. It's a wonderful, wonderful Christmas story. We see it on the pretty Christmas cards. But this is a story of love, of choice, of revelation. We need all those things, especially when it comes to revelation. This word is a book of revelation. From the start to the beginning. The revelation is successive. It goes from one succession to another, to another, to another, to another. You take, for example, leaders. The great Moses. The man of God, chose by God. Then we think about Abraham, chosen by God. Then we see Joshua. Then we see the prophets and the kings. And we see this succession, the unfolding revelation of the word until we come to the final chapters and we see Jesus Christ. The Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. This church has been built on a succession of revelation. Men who have responded to God. Men and women who have heard the call of God. And they've done their little bit of shuffling. It's incredible. It was a revolutionary time. But this time, an incredible, credible story. It was a journey of intimacy with Christ. They were coming in on the beginning of his birth. And life is a journey, isn't it? They were going to see the journey of Christ. And sometimes when we're on the journey with Christ, it takes us geographically into different places. The revelation of God in our hearts can take us to different places. Remember the revelation for the shepherds, they had to go to Bethlehem. We had a revelation that we had to go to Africa. And sometimes the revelation that God gives us, we have to move on it. Despite how much it costs, whether it cost us personally, whether it cost us physically, we have to move to where God wants to get us. Hallelujah. And the Lord is building his church. You see, these shepherds could have said they couldn't have bothered. They could have been super spiritual. You know, sometimes people get revelations and they're super spiritual, or they develop into super spiritual. I've seen the Lord, I have. And I know which way it should go. Revelation and prophecy is tested. My brother, my sister, revelation is tested by experience, by years of commitment and loyalty, by sweat. Some people can say, oh, I got a revelation. Let's make sure we check it out. We had a guy in our church in Spain. He stands up and he gives a revelation or a prophecy. You don't know him, but his life is in a mess. We have to check out when people say they have revelation. Let it be done by two or three prophets. If somebody prophesies, you have to check out with the scripture if that prophetic word is right. Revelation. These certainly had a revelation. Because when we get revelation, the Bible says, at the end of the revelation, what were they doing? Not criticizing each other. The word of God says they were walking and leaping and praising God. They were glorifying God. Hallelujah. When you have a revelation from God, it brings glory to God. It doesn't bring argument or division in the congregation. It brings glory to God. And they're moving all in the same direction. Hallelujah. I think these shepherds, it says they all went. Isn't that a lovely picture? There was no argument. Oh, I am not going. I am not going. There's none of them super spiritual. They got the revelation. The glory of the Lord came down. It was radical. Praise the Lord. We want moments in our lives. We are hungry. This church, we are poised. We are poised for a radical moment that we all need to listen to. And some of us, I'm sorry to say, have got to do some shuffling. You can't make out you're in the middle and you're getting the warmth all round. Oh, this is lovely, this is. Some of you might have to get on the outside for a bit, where it's a little more uncomfortable. where there's a little bit more expected of you. I mean, this is the time when God is showing us, hallelujah. Unity is the blessing, isn't it? The enemy wants to come to rob and to steal. Well, I know in my heart, it's nothing to do with personality. It's nothing for me to boast what happened here. It's only the glory of the Lord. Jim did a good job. The word of God says, Paul planted, Apollos sowed, but the Lord gave the increase. It's incredible. We need revelation at this time. I believe the Lord this morning is saying, we've been clambering on those mountains. Some of us are injured. We're grazed. And arms are sore. Some want to give up. No, this is the time, hallelujah. This is the divine appointment. And I know the outcome will be walking and leaping and praising God. Hallelujah. We need to be radical in the things of God. Praise the Lord. They went and found the Lord Jesus Christ. Our focus today, and especially at this time, our focus has to be on the Lord. Looking for the Lord. Letting us be guided by the light. See, we've got two options. We either walk in the light or we walk in the darkness. I think that night, the light of the Lord was there, wasn't it? The light shone in the darkness. We've got to allow that light to shine in our darkness. We've got to encourage each other. I want to commend all the leaders in this church at this moment in time, and the congregation. It's been a hard road. I know it's been a hard road. But we have men and women who have sacrificed their lives for the leadership of this church. This is no small thing. These are the men that God has given. These are the men who have had that encounter with God. These are the men that are growing. Praise the Lord. When we think we come to the life of Christ, those shepherds went to the beginning of Christ's journey. They must have seen the journey of Christ from the cradle to the grave. They must have saw Christ grow in wisdom and in stature. And this is the time for our fellowship. This is the time for our lives that we grow in wisdom and in stature. In other words, we're strong in the Lord. Hallelujah. Despite what happens, we're strong in the Lord. Everything may be against us, but we can be like David. We can jump over walls. We can run through troops. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you today. It's not my church. It's incredible how God called me here all those years ago. But my heart is here. I don't care who comes as the pastor. There will be no jealousy. Because this is the successive work, the unfolding revelation of God for this fellowship. Praise the Lord. I love coming here. I want you to be encouraged. Thank you, Ryan. You playing that organ. A lovely gift that God has given to you. And under the circumstances, we commend you, Ryan. We commend you. You are a dear brother. You're an important part of this church. But you're standing strong in the Lord. We're prayed for every day. We don't just pray, we fight. You, the Lord bless you, Carl. And God has got a blessing for you, my brother. Thank you for calling. Thank you, Colin, for being in the kingdom here at such a time as this. Lovely, quiet, gentle man. I see you and you have a confidence about you. God bless you. For Mark, for Rachel, we give thanks for them. They're going to have to walk in the light, the oversight for Angie. They're going to have to walk in the glory of God and seek for the glory. But don't worry. All is going to be fine. And it might not be how it used to be. That night, the shepherd's night, was not the night it was going to be. They were taken in a different direction. We've got to be open. We've got to be free. We've got to be taken into a new direction. It's a season of goodwill. Hallelujah. Peace on earth and goodwill to all men. What is goodwill? Does anybody know what goodwill is? When you sell a business, you sell the assets and you put a bit more money on for the goodwill. If you're a businessman, eh? It's true. That's what they do. Well, there's goodwill in this church. Hallelujah. It's an unmeasurable quantity, but it's goodwill. It's loyalty. See, when you buy a business, you want a business with loyalty. This is the goodwill side, isn't it? There's love. There's care. There's sharing. You see, we can have a wonderful fellowship. We can have musicians. We can have it packed with all the posh and affluent people. The money can be coming in. We got no goodwill. Goodwill is a visit, isn't it? It's a church that cares about people. It's a church that prays for people. We could go on and on with this little thing, couldn't we? With this lovely scenario. I believe God is calling us, every one of us, to do more than what we're doing now. To help relieve the pressure that these leaders are under at this moment in time. I believe that the congregation can do a little bit more. And if it's only a shuffle, you will be blessed. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Shall we stand and we pray together? sing a final chorus together. It's from Revelation, chapter 1, and it's concerning the Lord, of course. I do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I live forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and death. Write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. I am absolutely sure this church will have much to write about in the coming future. I am convinced this church will have much to write about. And what is the Lord? Maybe the Lord is saying is, look, come on, you take note. And I am right about it. Every moment of victory, every challenge that you get over, celebrate it. Write about it. Write it in your heart. When we do these things, this is what will build this church. You're the product. You are also the PR. You're also the price. It's free. In business, there are five principles. You're the product. You're the PR. Write it in your heart. Write it in your testimony. Let it be written in there as you move forward and the church grows. Hallelujah. I have every confidence. This church is going to be something different. We thank God for the past. I thank the Lord for my past here. I never get jealous. It's a blessing to come into this house. But there's something new and something different. We'll be able to write it down together. Praise the Lord. Okay, we're finished now. Lord, we thank you for this time together. We thank you, Lord, as we go home. Lord, to our houses, that you will go with us. We pray, dear Lord, we'll keep the vision in our hearts. We pray, dear Lord, that you will motivate us. We pray for the Spirit of the living God to animate us. Father, in the name of Jesus, you give us a heart to move. You give us a heart to speak. You give us a heart to do. You give us a heart to give. And then may we hear your words say, well done, my faithful people, because I can build my church. Amen.